Everybody, this is Dr. Glenn Livingston. I'm here with Orin Hudson of DeFemOne.org, which is a terrific name, by the way. How did you come up with that name?
I got that name from Jim Rome when he was telling his story how Abraham Lincoln, his mother, her last words on the planet to Abraham was "be someone."
Oh, wow.
And even though Abraham had failed many, many times running for public office and also many, many times in business, he took those two words all the way to the White House. So my message to the world is be someone, be all you can be.
I love it. Orin, tell everybody what you're doing now.
Well, I teach children how to play chess as a way of making better decisions in life. So basically, I save lives by teaching children decision-making skills early on and let them know that every move you make has consequences and you can make one bad move in life and never recover. So you always want to stop and think before you move.
And when you say that you're saving lives, you're actually working with inner-city children and some troubled youth, and you've gotten quite a bit of recognition for what you're doing. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir. I took a group of at-risk teenagers, and we traveled 2.5 hours to Augusta, Georgia, and we came in first place in statewide chess competition. So I'm teaching children how to think on their feet and how to think independently, because the greatest gift we can give our young people is the ability to make good decisions. If they can make good decisions, then we all win.
Now, how did you come to recognize the connection between chess and decision-making and being able to really put together this program?
Well, 30 years ago, I walked into an all-black high school, and at that time, I was a troubled teenager myself, and this white teacher came out of nowhere, and he said to me, he said, "Listen, Orin, every move you make has consequences." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I can show you, but I can tell you. Come back out to school, and I'll teach you something that will change your life." And so for 4 years, he taught me chess, and I owe my life to a teacher, because the moves and the strategy and the focus and the planning ahead and goal-setting strategy that he taught me, it saved my life, and it got me from doing petty crime to getting around smart people and making smart moves in life.
Did your mentor point out the parallels bit by bit as he was teaching you, or was it something that you put together over time?
Well, just when you play him and you lose to him, you just learn each lesson as you go, and you say, you see, you touch that piece, you got to move it. Now, see, you got to think before you move. So it's a learning process, and it's something that evolves where it's life on the board, and it really relates home because you can see by actual experience what he's trying to say with his words.
Got it. And do you find that the kids that they need to be interested in chess to start with in order for you to get them involved in this program, or do you have a way of getting them interested?
Well, I try to get them involved. For an example, I started at the school not long ago, and I had 3 people that signed up. But for long, it went from 3 to 103 because they found out that it was not as complicated as they initially thought and that it was fun. We make learning fun, and so they were afraid to get in the game. They were afraid to try to do it, so they learned that some other people were doing it, and so can they can do it. So they end up getting involved, and it started taking off.
So the biggest deal is for you to get a foothold into a school or an organization and get some people to see what you're doing, and then it's got kind of a viral aspect to it, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Warren, I don't know if you know that I am a psychologist by profession, although I work in marketing now, but for many years I worked with troubled teenagers, 9 or 10-year-old boys, and so I'm no stranger to doing various forms of play therapy, but this really impressed me because of what I would describe it as is training people in impulse control and learning how to use their intellect in order to direct their life energy. But I know that there are often kids who are very resistant to the process. Kids are programmed from the earliest age in a lot of the inner cities and a lot of people that come from troubled families. They're programmed to act on impulse, not to think before they act, to live by the law of the jungle in many ways. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about what it's like for you to take a kid from the process of wanting to just be impulsive and jump and do things and not think through the consequences. And maybe you've got an example or two of a particular kid that stands out in your mind that went through that. Would that be something you could talk about?
Yes, sir. For example, I was playing this kid the other day, and I gave away my queen, and he took it. And then a few minutes later, I checkmate him, and I say, "Don't take the first thing that comes to your head. You get to look at the whole picture and say, is this true? Is this honest? Is this the best move I can make? Is this the best move? Yes, taking my queen is okay, but you get to look at the consequences, because every move has consequences." So he learned that, see a queen, you jump on it. No, you got to sit down. Okay, I see the queen. I see it's there. Is there any tricks? Is there anything I can do? So don't just take the first thing that comes to your head. You got to learn how to delay gratification. And what we teach is service, service, service. There's a waiting period, then you get reward. So you want to work hard, work hard, work hard. There's a waiting period, and then you get your reward. And so we teach children how to delay gratification.
I think that's just wonderful. Do you have people that are trained underneath you to help you spread the word on a more massive scale, or is it mostly just you doing the work?
It's mostly just me, but my goal is to get more people involved and try to raise money so I can do more. Glenn, one of my biggest challenges is that I've done a lot of this on a shoestring budget. In fact, less than a shoestring budget without even shoes. So I'm basically needing to get more people involved because a lot of people see some of the results. They see us on TV. They see us on the news. They think I'm there. They say, wow, you're already there. And they don't realize that I'm doing all of this without limited resources, and I need more resources to keep the program alive. I'm about to lose the program, and people don't even realize it.
Yeah, people don't recognize that fame doesn't equal wealth.
Right, and they see when kids win, and they see results, and they say, wow, and they think I'm there, and I'm not, and I'm asking people to join me in my efforts because I learned something. Evil prevails when good people do nothing.
Right.
So we all have to do our part.
That's actually how we met, is I had sent you a check for $1,000 or something because I found out about what you were doing and I was just so impressed that I wanted to support it, and that's why I suggested that we do this interview. And I'm sure we'll talk a little more at the end of the interview about how people can get in touch with you and help out if they want to. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about how long have you been doing this?
Actually, I started the program in 2000, but I didn't officially get all my paperwork, legal and lawyers involved until 2001. But I started my program because May 24th, 2000, I'll never forget this, 7 innocent employees that worked for Wendy's Hamburger in Queens, New York, were shot execution style in the head for $2,000. And when I saw this, I was stunned. And I said, I have to do my part. So I found out that our biggest enemy is ignorant. Our young people are ignorant. They don't know. And so I teach them about the new currency on the planet. The new currency on the planet is cash. It starts with a K. Knowledge, attitude, skills, and habits. This is the new currency.
That's great.
I teach children that cash is king.
That's wonderful. You started to do it about 6 years ago, and then you got a little famous when Jane Fonda noticed what you were doing. Is that what happened?
Well, I got a phone call from Jane, and she heard that I was pretty good with doing chess for children. So she wanted me to teach some children chess for her. So for 2 years, Jane Fonda kind of like helped me out and helped me along and kind of gave me a start, and I was getting going. And people automatically assume that I was there, and they still do, but I still need more people to help me and keep it going. But what I like about what Jane did, she called herself, because I think at her time, the guy that she wanted to do it, he didn't want to do it, so he wouldn't do it. So she called me herself and got it going.
Did you mentor Jane Fonda in chess to start with?
No, I didn't mention her, but she told me that she plays chess and that she thought it would be an excellent tool to teach children decision-making skills and to thinking ahead, and that's how I got that connection.
Wonderful. And after you had that connection with Jane and she kind of got you going, how have you managed to keep things going since then?
It's been reaching out, just going out there, being seen, and helping kids, and never say no. People call me, can you do this? I say, you always say yes. It's hard to say no when you know you're helping kids who are lost. And so I volunteer my time in a lot of places doing different things. And now I need to try to stop and try to find key people to get involved to keep the dream alive, because right now we trap for funds and I need funding to keep the program going.
Is this the kind of thing that could possibly work over the telephone or, you know, with an online chessboard and talking to a kid across the country while you're looking at a computer?
Yeah, it definitely can work, because it's 64 small squares on a chessboard. Now, notice I say it's small squares because all together on a chessboard, it's 204 squares, but it's 64 small squares. And so, yeah, you can set up the board, and each small square has a name. And so, yeah, you can set it up, and then you can teach, and you can teach life lessons, thinking ahead, focus, concentration, delaying gratification, looking at the board from not only your side, but from your opponent's side. So you got to learn how to look at life from two or three sides. Don't just look at it from your point of view. Always consider the other person's perspective.
The reason that I'm asking that is that this audio should get to a lot of, got a lot of fairly powerful marketers on my list, and might be that one of them resonates with this and is looking for a project and has the time and the energy to help you set something like that up. And if you can really do this on a national or international basis using the internet, which most 9 or 10 year old kids are, I know this is just not restricted to 9 or 10 year old kids, but by the time kids are 9 or 10, they're pretty facile with the computer and getting online and playing games online. I'll bet you that there's an audience for this. I'll bet you there's a bunch of people who pay a very nominal fee for your lessons, and that might help you fund what you're doing.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope someone is listening and can help me create some software where we can educate and train students and teach them decision-making skills and how to think before you move, how to be patient, how to learn to wait, how to delay gratification, how to inspect what you expect, and how to question everything. Just don't go with the first thing that comes to your head. Kind of question it and go, is this a good move here?
What are the age ranges of kids that you work with?
The youngest I've taught is 4, and the oldest I've taught is 104. So I go from 4 to 104.
You are too much. Okay, so you go from 4 to 104. Boy, I should probably take lessons from you.
One of my claim to fame is I take 20 years off of people learning curve. I was playing this guy the other day. He said, Oren, I can beat you. I said, why do you say that? He said, well, I've been playing chess for 50 years. Me and Martin Luther King played together, and I'm blah, 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 and he showed me pictures and all this good stuff. I met him down at the Martin Luther King Center. And he said, I can beat you. I said, let's go. So I beat him like 10 straight games. And he go, what happened? I said, you have not been playing chess 50 years. You've been playing chess 1 year, 50 times. It's because he's making the same errors in judgment, but he don't realize he's making it because he said, Oren, I'm beating everybody at play. Yes, you are, but that's because they don't recognize the opportunity. Chess is about fighting for territory. And once you stop fighting for what you want, what you don't want will take over. So you've got to learn how to fight the weeds because weeds grow automatically. The guy said, Warren, my garden is beautiful. Is that there going? I said, did you do anything? He said, no. He said, they're growing automatically. I said, those are weeds. If they're growing automatically, they're weeds. So you got to constantly try to improve. You got to always better your best. And I have a new formula that I give out, and it's called excellence is not enough. You have to be amazing.
I love it. Do you think that this has to be for people that are necessarily troubled? Let me put it this way. When I worked as a psychologist, you spend a lot of time in graduate school learning how to cure illness and diagnose problems and fix them and kind of solve crises. But the real satisfaction was when an everyday professional would come in and they'd get through their crises, and then they would realize that there's so much more that they could learn and grow with the process. And they would start promoting the process to all of their friends, saying, well, you should just go for psychotherapy with this guy because you could really have a much better life than you know that you could have. And I'm wondering, are you squarely focused on helping troubled kids and maybe some people that are having trouble in their life, or do you see this as a growth process, as something you've kind of stumbled on as a way of exploring life and enhancing and expanding what you're capable of, kind of like a coach rather than a doctor?
I think so. It's for one example. For many, many years, I did kids. And then some parents were sitting in on the class and go, man, we need this. So, yeah, I discovered that what we're doing is for parents and for just everyday people because oftentimes the adult need to be reminded. I'll give you an example. We know what to do, but we don't always do what we know. And so one way that adults can bring it back to memory and so they can be involved is to be involved with what I'm doing. So the other day I did a training with 100 teachers, and they was like, wow, this is amazing. So I'm going back to that school tomorrow to do another training because they learned so much and with some lot of things they didn't realize they know. And they thought they didn't know chess brought that much to the table. But chess is an excellent tool to teach a lot of life lessons.
I got to tell you a personal story. You're making me want to go through this course with you so that I really understand what you're doing even better. But I want to tell you why I chose you when I was looking for a charity to give to. When I was a kid, my father's a wonderful man, and he's a psychologist himself, but he made a mistake with me around chess. We used to have chess tournaments in my house when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, and I used to really study Bobby Fischer, a book called Bobby Fischer Teaches Chess, and by the time I was 9 years old, I could beat my father in every game. And so he quit. He didn't want to do it anymore. But it actually taught me a really bad lesson. It taught me a lesson that if I really let myself excel and think things through and make a plan and do all these wonderful things that you're describing chess can do for you, that then I have to give up the relationship and close time with the people that I love. And so it was a real quandary for me. So in a way, when I saw what you were doing, it's like in psychology we call things curative fantasies. Like if I could go back and redo and show my dad what he should have done. You know, he should have thought, he should have known. He should have studied with you and learned that this is a wonderful experience for the kid and kind of stuck with it and thought through what lessons were being taught and used his skill as a psychologist to intertwine with the chess game. But, you know, he didn't, and he said a lot of other wonderful things to make up for it. But I think that here's a game that's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it's very well structured, and not only can people grow and improve from what you teach them personally, but once they understand the value of what it does for your thinking and your decision making, well, there's just so much additional education. You could study chess for a lifetime, couldn't you?
Right. There's so much to learn. And if, when you learn this, you learn this. And when you learn this, you learn that. And then you realize that, hey, school is never out for the pro. But the good thing that we teach children is that it's attitude toward losing. You have to have the attitude. For example, I tell the kids, I said, it's noble on my part that I would try to win, because you learn more from losing than you do from winning, and I wish to give you that experience. And so the point is, if your dad was, okay, he lost, he got frustrated. But see, we change that. We make losing fun. See, what we teach is that the key to success is information and acting on correct information. So when you lose, you're getting information. So there's no such thing as losing as long as you get information. And the key concept is don't make the same mistake twice. Learn from every decision that you make.
Absolutely. Are there one or two kids or one or two people over the years that you've been doing this that really stick out in your mind as an example of what can really be accomplished with this process?
Yes, sir. For an example, I told you earlier, I took two kids to Augusta, Georgia to compete in the statewide chess competition. One of them was Aaron Porter. And so he played in this tournament, and he won his first two games, and then he won his third game. And then on his fourth game, he had to compete with this guy, and this guy said to him before they played, he said, I'm going to take all your pieces like I did your classmate. And so deja vu was about to take place because the guy took his queen. But he remembered what we learned in class. Don't focus on what you lost. Focus on what you have left and use what you have. And he ended up winning the game. He ended up winning first place in the statewide chess competition. That was a very successful story because he was willing to keep fighting even though he was down a whole queen. So the key concept that we teach is the biggest mistake you ever can do is give up. So the formula is never give up and stay in the game.
I love it. Well, I will certainly be sending you a check, and I actually would like to talk to you about maybe scheduling some time to get a lesson or two from you myself so that I could experience more directly what you're doing. I want to make sure that people know that it's not just Jane Fonda that's recognized you, but you've been on CNN, you've been on Jim Rohn's CD sets, and you've got the Black Enterprise Everyday Hero Award and Social Entrepreneur Award from the Hands in Atlanta and the Twinkie Award, and I've got a list here that's several dozen long. I know that it's always a little bit embarrassing to promote yourself, but I can certainly tell people about USA Today and the World Network, and there is definitely something that you're onto, and I really would like to see you supported and helped to go further with this. I'm going to do everything I can to get the word out and encourage people to just browse on over to your site, just to see a little bit more about what you're doing, besomeone.org. Oren, do you want to give out your phone number or if your phone number on the site?
Yes, sir. It's 678-526-0292. I'm very passionate about what I do. I care about educating our young people, and I want them to make better decisions. My goal in life is to convert cell blocks to classrooms. My vision is changing the world one move at a time. And so I want to connect and show people what I learned, which helped me, and let them know that no one's better than you and no one's smarter than you, that everyone can be someone if they simply make the right move.
I love it. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you today?
Well, my website is besomeone.org, and my phone number is 678-526-0292, but I think we basically covered this. The main thing is I need volunteers. I'm looking for someone that can help me with my website. I'm looking to take it to the next level because it's like I'm playing a game, and I need a few more pieces to help me get it going. I would love for people to join me in my efforts in changing the world one move at a time, and I need your help.
Very nice, even if they don't have the money right now to help you financially. There are things that they can do with their time or
time and contacts, sending people. There's several T's. One of them is time, treasure, thinking, talent. Whatever they can do to help us help more kids be successful, because here's the good news. When the kids win, we all win. And when the parents win, we all win. We're interconnected, and that evil prevails when good people do nothing. So we need each other to make this world a better place.
Very nice. Lauren, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today. I'm sure that you'll get some contacts from this, because I've got a very large list of entrepreneurs that will hear this, and particularly to help you with your website. I'm sure there will be no problem to find someone like that. So I really hope that I will have contributed to your success and vis-a-vis doing that to help the children that you're helping. And I support her wholeheartedly. So thanks again.
Thank you, Glenn.